My biggest bugbear, my biggest gripe in this city of Cape Town is that no one knows how to use the road. I'm talking about motorists and pedestrians here. That we don't know how to use the road. I am largely a courteous fellow. Give you a right of way simply because it will better your day. Not trying to gloat here. But if I'm at an intersection and there are people who want to cross the street and they're pedestrians, I let them go. Please. I'm in a car. You're on your 2 feet. I'm far more comfortable in a far more air-conditioned car here, protected by sheet metal on rubber tires. Please go ahead. But the guy at the back of me, he's going to be hooting because he wants to go now. Why am I letting these people through now? At the same time, I know that particularly in South Africa, the closest way between A and B for pedestrians is a straight line. It's darting across the road, not observing real traffic laws, jaywalking, in other words. And that also peeves me off. So I want to talk about how do we change the mindset of both motorists and pedestrians. And a group of young Cape Townians, they're urging the city of Cape Town to look at ways of moving from a car-dependent city to a city where we share between cars and pedestrians. They call themselves the Young Urbanists, and they're working on 6 ways Cape Town can improve itself. This includes improving our roads, dealing with spatial planning, the monopoly that vehicular transport has on our public transportation options, but also I want to talk about the responsibilities of pedestrians as well. Joining me on the line is Roland Posner. He represents Young Urbanists. Thank you so much for joining us. Roland, how are you doing?
Not so bad. Yourself?
I'm very good. Do you know how I know that tourism has returned to the city of Cape Town? Is because if I were to look out my window right now in Greenpoint and I'm looking at a four-way stop, how I know tourists have returned to Cape Town is because they're the only one waiting for a light to turn green for, to show a little man on a street light giving them the right of way to cross the street. South Africans don't wait. We cross now because we want to. And that is how I know tourists have returned. We have a very warped way of thinking in South Africa. And this is motorists and pedestrians. We don't want to wait. We don't want to be inconvenienced. We want to get where we want to be right now.
Without a doubt. And I mean, it's interesting that there's two things here. It's about, pedestrians' behavior and behavior of cars. But I think the missing middle here is our infrastructure. Mm. And at the moment, our infrastructure is 100% car-centric. So that's why as South Africans, or indeed other Africans, don't wait, because our infrastructure are not built for pedestrians, let alone the elderly, the children, people on wheelchairs. So I don't think it's a question of bad behavior. It's a question of us for generations. You know, this started in the 50s and 60s where we've been building for cars, and that goes back to apartheid spatial planning, but also, you know, in the last decade since 1994, that has profiliated even more, you know, mollification, and basically the infrastructure in our cities is anti-people, and that's why you see people jaywalk.
Explain that. How does the tar and the gravel and the asphalt of a street and the infrastructure and electronics of a street light prevents me from acting in a behavior that is courteous and responsible and makes me want to share a public space with other people, whether they be on their feet or whether they be in cars? How does infrastructure affect the way we behave?
Fundamental. So, there's so many ways, interventions, how we can change our street designs to allow for humans, pedestrians and cars to coexist. I think what I want to point out to your viewers is we're not anti-car. we need to see roads as a public space. So essentially for everyone. So a big factor is how fast cars are going. I don't know if you've ever been in any suburb or in any area, cars don't adhere to the speed limits. Mm. And plus the speed limit is not low enough. So what we need to do is we need to change our, how we design our roads. Where we have more shared spaces, especially in more denser areas, and we need to lower speeds. And science and evidence has shown this reduces fatal accidents. So you have to understand, in South Africa, we have a lot of fatalities from car accidents, but also that work country where a lot of us actually walk to work. In Cape Town, from the last recent household survey, about 30% of Cape Townians walk. And when I say walk, in very unpleasant conditions from one end to another, with no shade, no coverage, no support whatsoever. And that doesn't include people actually walking 40, 50 minutes to a bus or a taxi. So essentially the picture is much bigger. These are mostly people in low income, informal areas. And also, you know, nationally, educationally, 75% of learners, whether they're at a high school or universities, walk. So the list goes on and on. Why we need better streets, why we need better infrastructure so that we can coexist. Because a road is not just for cars, it's for everyone, whether you're on a bicycle or whether you're walking, whether you're on a wheelchair. But we need to make sure that it's a safe space for everyone. And it starts by reducing the speed and how we design our roads.
Mara's calling in. Mara in Outbay, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. So, very quickly, I just would like to say that I actually enjoy living in a country where I can cross the road where I choose to cross the road, as opposed to either a little green man or a little red man flashing at me, telling me where I'm supposed to cross the road, like a police-run state in Australia or the US or England. And I actually enjoy that liberty. Remember, we have goats and cows on our highways, motorways. So I hope that we're a long way off from actually being told where we cross the road and being fined if we don't cross in that particular space. Thank you for listening to me.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You so much, Mara. I appreciate what Mara is saying. The shared experience of crossing where you want to, but at the same time, I've had the fortune of traveling a bit, and for example in New York, where a New York policeman can detain you for a short while, write you up a ticket for jaywalking, for you having to cross a street where there is a sign. A car may not make a turn if there are pedestrians in at a pedestrian crossing, but at the same time, it is a far more litigious country where you could be sued if you do not, you know, in your personal capacity, for not obeying a street sign or not obeying the robot, the traffic light. So I want to know if it's a differ in legal culture as well. Because I've seen even the most gung-ho of people of questionable moral integrity saying, no, they're not going to turn into this intersection because they're afraid of being sued.
Well, I mean, I don't know when you last went to New York, but since COVID, the streets over New York has changed where they've become outdoor dining shared spaces. In fact, places like New York, Paris, the best example, they became a cycling city overnight. Barcelona, Melbourne, Sydney, across the world, they have completely transitioned away from car dependency, where streets are for everyone, not just cars. So I think, well, I understand what you're saying, but in terms for us to have a more inclusive, equitable city, streets, we need to change our perception and how we see streets, and it needs to be shared zones. But it starts by cars being more responsible, where we have, a 30-40 limits across the city. And if I say that, a lot of people will say that will never happen in this country, or indeed in a lot of, but that's what we need, you know, for us, so that our children, so that your children can walk and be safe in the streets.
I appreciate that. I would love a reduction in the speed, particularly in residential areas, but we can't even enforce a 60 speed limit in a residential area. How are we going to expect traffic and police law enforcement to enforce a 40 kilometer per hour speed limit?
Again, you're looking at it from the wrong angle. Mm-hmm. It's because of how we design our streets. We allow for, you know, we'll use the term car sewage. You know, we allow for cars to speed up. So if we, the term we use is, for your listeners, is street calming. So basically where streets, they do a road diet, essentially. So you have interventions where you take away, so you widen the speeds, you introduce biodiversity strips, outdoor dining like New York. I'm so glad that you mentioned that. So it starts with how we design our streets, where it's very clear that it's a shared zone, and that's how we reduce. It's not through police officers. It's about a ground up approach, not a reactive approach. It's being proactive, and that's what we need to do. And that's something that, looking at elections, the metros can do. They can't just use Pretoria as a scapegoat. The next administration in all our big metros can use their fiscal power to change how we design streets. And that can bring big economic, environmental, biodiversity, and also inclusivity, because apartheid, new apartheid is still very much alive. We need shared spaces. We need people to interact. A great example is at the moment in Balfour, an NGO, friends of ours called Open Streets Cape Town, where they have an event where basically they're asking the public, where they combine kind of an art kind of activation space of what kind of streets do they want. So it's very important that we come back to our communities, especially in elections, and look at what can we do through the metro, through our municipalities, to create economic growth, inclusive economic growth, but also radically change our cities so that we as a country can be more interconnected, but also fight climate change, and also be more caring and respectful to one another. Yeah. But it comes down to our streets.
Gordon calling from Marina da Gama. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Lester. Hi, Roland. Really like what Roland is saying. I just want to support that. You know, if we design our cities, and you were talking about Paris, Roland, earlier on, you know, they talk about a 15 or 20 minute city where the urban spaces are designed to be completely integrated and people can get to anything they need within 15 or 20 minutes of walking and cycling. And one of the conversations in Cape Town that builds on what Roland is saying is that we should be designing our streets from the bottom up. In other words, designing for people first, rather than cars as the primary setup. So our roads become movement corridors for anybody and everybody, and it's an integrated approach. And the other part of the equation is cycling. Cycling is probably one of the most, well, is not probably, but is one of the most affordable means of traveling sort of mid-distance, anywhere between 5 and 8 kilometers, and it's often quicker than a car. It's environmentally friendly. It is the cheapest form of traveling that kind of distance that you can, and it takes pressure off the congestion on our road system. So, you know, just taking what Roland is saying and expanding it is really, really critical for us to create cities that are socially just and environmentally sustainable. So it really just want to build on that conversation.
Excellent. Gordon, thanks so much. It deals also with this question that has come through. Is this guy serious? What is wrong with having the sidewalk for pedestrians and the street for cars? No need to lower speed limits. But when you talk about how many people are there, more people walking in our cities and our urban business spaces, that we are relegating the majority of people to what, a 2 meter wide stretch of public property, with the rest reserved for mostly single occupant cars.
Great. Like I said early on, we're the most unequal country in the world. So about 30% of our in Cape Town, people walk because they don't have a choice, and they walk on the most dangerous, especially for females, the elderly, children, and educationally, about 75% of people across the country walk to place of education. That's so important. Because, you know, there's a reason why people drop off. It's not because of their education, but it's primarily of how they get to that and the cost of transportation. So we really need to be clever. We're not anti-car. We need to have cars and humans coexist, but we need to transition away where we're less car dependent and where we change our streets. And that's what we envisioned in 1994 constitutionally. And what we're building now is the complete opposite of that. Cars are the most inefficient way of transportation. Your typical car occupancy is 1.5. So in terms of cycling, transportation, and plaza, that's another conversation. If we want to be rational and support the evidence, we will invest in alternative ways. And there's new technologies coming up, you know, e-mobility, scooters, cycling, economically, great points. And kind of to add to the previous caller's point, what we need to do is we need to look at informal areas, low income areas, and invest in those areas and take the 50-minute neighborhood concept. And there's also the 20-minute, 1-minute. Bakota is a great example, Global South. And invest in those modes to support these struggling communities, bring back investment, but also make sure the money stays in that community. And it starts with, understanding that we are a country where we can't build for cars. We need to build for people so that we can actually have inclusive economic growth and actually, become the country we envisioned in 1994. And it starts with streets. It starts with mobility because that affects everything, your land uses. It affects our behaviors, how we interact with one another. To the caller, cars definitely have a role to play, but they can't be the dominant role. We need to actually bring it down and have an equitable and holistic approach to this. We're not anti-car, but we need to have a solution for both, but that prices, pedestrians, and other means of active transportation.
Let's go to a quick voice note, 072-567-1567.
Lester, hi. I just want to give you the other side of the coin. I'm also one of those drivers that allow you to pass through and everything. But you know, Lester, when you're standing and you're giving a car the opportunity to actually turn, then they are either sitting on the phone or they're looking the other way instead of concentrating where they're supposed to be. Thanks, Lester.
Courtesy getting the better of you there. I totally appreciate that we should be having more pedestrian-focused streets. And there's an example where, on my route to work, Roland, where I think pedestrian behavior has trumped the needs of the motorists. At the intersection of where the Woodbridge Island My City is, the My City station is, of course, in the middle of the road. It's not too far. It's probably about 20 meters from that intersection, and the robots. But what the city of Cape Town has done, because people were darting across the road, people could very well, very easily just walk the 20 minutes or the 20 meters up to the intersection. Wait for the right, the lights to change, cross there, and walk the 20 seconds to the My City station. But what they've done is, at the actual My City station, they've made a pedestrian crossing where people press the button, the lights change, and they cross there. And this is a case of point A to point B. They've made it a bit safer with a pedestrian crossing and lights, but it makes no sense in terms of being in a car, because I've just been at an intersection where I waited for the lights to change. I'm going to drive 20 meters. There's another one right there. And that is a case where pedestrian behavior has influenced how the city plans its intersections and its infrastructure around what is in the best interest of the pedestrian.
Yes. Definitely. I mean, we need these kind of lighthouse projects. And, you know, if we're serious about moving a lot of people from point A to B, and then affordably, because you have to understand we have the highest unemployment rates in youth and in the world. So we need to look at the best ways of bringing people from point A to point B. So you're going to have these awkward situations like you just kind of demonstrated, but we're going to have to go through this awkward transition. But fundamentally, in order for us to be less car dependent, the city needs to build the infrastructure, and then people will come, whether it's cycling, whether it's a better walkability, whether it's in the city ball or in informal areas or low income areas. We need to build the right infrastructure, but that's going through that process is going to be an awkward transition for cars, because cars have had carte blanche of our cities for a very, very long time. So obviously it's gonna create a hindrance. There's gonna be fraction. A lot of people are gonna be in opposition to this. But you know, if we really want to be serious about creating the country and vision in 1994, sorry to be provocative, we need to seriously look at how we design our cities, and it starts with our streets, because our streets and our mobility patterns affects everything else. When we had transportation day zero not so long ago, when there was no taxis, I had colleagues or friends of mine that had to walk for hours. And most people, local income users, spend about 40%, of their income on transportation. 40%. That's not rent. That's not water. That's not medicine. That's not school fees. So we have a big crisis. And if people are going to be inconvenient because we're changing house streets or lowering the speed because of their cars, then that speaks volumes of them and what they prioritize and their values. So, you know, if we want to be serious about creating a more inclusive country, we need to give up our privileges when it comes to our car-centric culture. And also the infrastructure that supports that way. And for the city, if they're serious about tackling apartheid, they need to start building the right infrastructure. But that is going to create these fractions that you just pointed out.
Roland Postma is the advocacy lead for an organization called Young Urbanists, re-looking at the way we see and we live in our world and our city of Cape Town. Thank you so much for joining us, Roland.